I hope you have heard my talk, she said, if you have followed it. I clearly say there are two aspects of regions. One is the outer, the other is the inner. We have taken steps as an outer aspect of religion. Reading of scriptures, saying of prayers, performance of certain rites and rituals. And that has been explained to you, their scope, what they are meant for. Reading of scriptures, if rightly understood by somebody who knows the world, that creates an interest to know God. And that ends there. Saying of prayers and performance of rites and rituals, they are meant for developing love and devotion in us for God. These are good actions, have their own reactions and good results. These are meant for the preparation of the ground. For the other way, which is higher, to be taken up when you rise above body consciousness. All these pertain to the body. These are meant for the preparation of the ground. Remain in some religion. But remain in this, in any religion, and only taking the preliminary steps and not taking the higher, you do not derive full benefit from following that religion. A true Christian is one who sees the light of God. And all others have defined the same way. So what you have been given is not religion, but spirituality. You follow? Spirituality is not religion. Religion is a social body, a school in which you have joined to attain spirituality. Spirituality, what it is self-analysis of soul from mind and outgoing faculty, knowing oneself and being in tune with God. This is what is, strictly speaking, spirituality. It is no spiritualism, no spiritism, no mesmerism, no hypnotism. So while you follow the first step, when you have been given the higher step, some man came up to me yesterday that he is putting in 3 hours for yoga, hatha yoga. What should he do? Well, go on doing hatha yoga. That will lead you to give you good body. Why not give some time to make your body fit? Not 3 hours. Say half an hour something there to make your body fit. And the rest 2.5 hours for this higher purpose. You follow my point? What I say? You have been given to be true Christian. You have been given a contact with the Word, which is a lamp unto my feet and light on my path. You have been given something that God manifests in any human fold. He is the light of the world. They are children of light. When they come to the world, they give all the light to all and everybody. You follow my point? So you are not to leave any religion as a social body. But you got something higher. No, you got something higher, still you spend your whole time, 24 hours, for that and not for this what you have got. What's the use of having this? I am not changing your religion. If I change, I will have to form a new one. And new rules, new regulations, new rights and everything. Why to waste time in that? But only to think because you are a Christian or a Hindu or a Muhammad and you will be just accepted at the court of God, that is 100% wrong. Unless you become true to God, you come in contact with the light of God and follow the masters who came in the past, they gave universal religion, you cannot be accepted at the court of God. You follow me, no? You remain where you are. Remain, your relations continue. Go to the church, you get the first step with your efforts. When they are taking the fetch of you, can utilize that time for higher purpose, you have got away. You are not to hate them, you see. You, those who have come in contact with those you have been already, love them. And if you got something higher, tell them friendly, but this is something the further way up in our own scriptures, you see. So you are not, when anybody tells you only, comparatively, they must make clear the point, you see, that this is the value. We do the sense. If not, you will have to create another religion. What for? Those religions which have stood the test of times, why not remain there? By changing outer forms, etc., does not bring you closer to God. Mind that, unless you follow the teachings, what the Master gave. Christ said, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Did he not say that? He said, I am the light of the world. That Christ lived before Jesus and after too. Christ's power was the God power which manifested that the human power of man, Son of Man. We have great respect for Son of Man, a true pole that God power. But that continues forever. In the Unity Temple, I gave a talk. Well, I had to ask him, well, what are your principles? Then he gave me, who was Christ? And there it is given, Christ lived before Jesus. Follow the difference between the two? God power, God into special power, world was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. That God power, or the Guru power, or the Master power, or the Christ power is the same. That lives forever, before and after. Their teachings have been universal. So you have got something diamond-like. If you go on like to just, you have business in the silver, you may do if you like, but the diamonds are more valuable. Go on within where you are. You may have contact there. No hard and fast truth. If anybody has told you not to leave out all that, I think they have not been able to explain fully what it meant.
You just answered my question before I asked.
No, the facts remain, you see, that will appear. If you have got something very valuable, you still go on with iron work, it is your value. It has its value. These are good actions, I am not underrating them. But these are meant for the preparation of the ground. Use your good fortune and your search after God. God has given you a step further. It is God who has given it. I always tell this, you God manifests in man who can give you a contact with him. So you have to love all, you see. Your friends, tell them you have found something else which was hidden before in our scripture. They will come round. If you have to just learn to hate them, then where is the love? You say love God and love everybody. But don't be led away, my dad. You are having something else, don't leave it for the sake of. What we do? We stick to the outer casing of walnut and ignore the kernel. But don't do that. But I made no religion. Definitely. And now I am going to make any religion. If I, so what as I will have. Now, to me, anybody does it, it is. You are going astray, the point, I tell you. This is a truth which is one, has been experienced by one and all. Ever since the world came. Those who knew the truth, they gave out that way. This question was put to my master. He says, where is Khanna? Where is Khanna? Why should he not be here? People will be referring to him. Well, I am telling something very important question. It has been explained already so many times, as far as you know already, but this is the question here. That we should not ignore the kernel for sticking by sticking to the outer covering of the walnut. Make the best use of it. You are not to hate anybody. And especially in the school where you have been, If you got something higher in the very school that the minister do not know, surely I am not exaggerating. I have come in contact with ministers of all religions. Majority of them, they are ignorant about these higher things. And that is as I have mentioned. So for that you can tell us that there is something more in our own scriptures. So in that case, they will also come out. Not change the religion now to follow to North East, but a further step in their own, again in their own scripture. So love for all those who are going on the higher, but others, also God is in them. If you hate them, then who will be? When you found a candle of light, put it not under a bushel, but place it where it can attract the attention of other seekers. So those who are, you are in Sankhyas, yeah, I am in Sankhyas. If my brothers over there are ignorant, I must treasure it in our own scripture. Is it? So you have to love for no hatred for none. But don't ignore the diamond work. Replace it by the copper or the iron or the silver. This is what I mean to say. I think that point is clear, sir. I tell you honestly, even the bishops do not know what is what. Majority of all religions, not I am telling of the Christians only, but other religions too. Now men of other religions, they direct them to me. For the inner go to him. They are supposed to be knowing God. If they know God, they must give up. They simply give you go on with the first step. That will do. Well, that is wrong, I tell you honestly. If you have only one form and go on like that, well, a bird in hand is better than two in the bush. Have love for them. But if you don't love them, how will he hear you? By love, you can make anybody understand. By hatred, you can. Nobody will come near you. You will be defaming the work of your own movement. Revival, I would say, not movement, you see. Of the old truth you have forgotten. I think this point is very clear. Yes. Yes, please. As regards reading of scripture, what I have written, I have given a digest of the cream of the inner way up, as given by all scriptures. To the best I know, theoretically, by parallel study of religions, and practically. So that is a clean with you. You may read them first. If anything on that, I give reference to other scriptures too. You can quote here, such and such also say that. Let it be basic principle which guides you direct. And then you quote, Lord Krishna says so, Christ says so, Buddha says so. But don't make the basic those because they also form part of other things too. Is it? They got their own rituals, everything. They lay sometimes, on account of ignorance, too much importance to the preparatory step not mentioned yet. So we have been given what is the digest or the cream, you know. That is your preference. As regards power for the masters, let there be no misunderstanding about it. Dr. Johnson was a missionary. He first went to India to find somebody and could not have went to preach. Came back twice when he went, he had the good fortune to meet our master. He sat at his feet, learned something for 7 years, 6 years. I was there too. Well, he wrote this part of manuscript form. His spirit was the same as a missionary. Well, Muslims don't know anything, Sikhs don't know anything, Hindus are wrong, such and such men are wrong, this is very dreadful. So 3 copies are made out of that. One was given to me, one was given to Sardar Bahadur Jagat Singh, third was given to Professor Jagmohan Lal. So Professor Jagmohan Lal never returned the manuscript. Sardar Bahadur returned with few pages with too many strictures. He would not listen. If you say any man, you are blind, he won't listen. You simply ask your dear servant to lose your eyesight, and he will listen to you. Now remain the whole thing, the world on my shoulder. I tell my master that yes, it's like that. He's been in missing way. Well, missing is wrong. That is wrong. That is ours is the only way. And all others are wrong. This and that. So you may find out to him. I went to him. I told him, look here, dear Dr. Johnson, you have done splendid work in bringing out this manuscript, but it appears here and there you are not in the full law of things. That is why you have not been able to do full justice to the work. I would like to know. And then I gave them from the Hindu, from the Mormon literature, from all others, quotations and everything, you see. He revised it. After we on those lines. Whatever you don't know, there are some stars also, anyhow, that was said that. When that was revised, that never came to me. After we. But he revised the other part, you see, that is quite, I think, palatable. About this Christianity portion, I told him, you, Dr. Johnson, you must polish it down. It is put in a very drastic way. What did he say, you see? He said, well, my brothers in the West won't wake up until I say that way. That mystery spirit was there. So he did not revive it. I found the Christian do not relish that part. That was very drastic way, you see. Now they have revised that. For the revised copy has been issued. So this is the true state of affairs. Now it is up to you to do what you like. Have something what you got very direct and may refer to others. You may utilize the other one. So other parts are written in the Christianity course, still people don't like it. I've seen one man was going to be initiated. When he read that thing, through over the book, he said, I don't like to be initiated. He says, what is the part of the initiation of the science, you see? So you may read other books if they are on the planet. Then you have got something cut and dyed, you see. The first thing. You may refer to others, there is no harm. Yes, what do you want to say?
I was going to say, regarding to our diet master.
Yes?
I'm trying to explain, where do we stand on the serums and shots and all that sort of thing?
Serums?
From the injections. Hormones.
Then, look here, there ways of treatment, you see. If there is something direct on the subject that is not permissible, you avoid it, that's all. What can be done? Life cannot be prolonged by any man, by any doctor. That is all in fixed up. But you can help it in the other way. And whatever you find, that is very minimal, but then the whole homeopathy should go to war. Because that is people didn't require, you see. The question is about the intoxication that gives. That very minimum one drop can give you intoxication. But the other way it is too much good. So personally don't take it for the personal relishing or anything like that, you see. Injection is also based on the principle of homeopathy. Little thing play up the whole blood. Avoid as much as be possible by having recourse to others. If there is no other alternative, just let us see. Yes?
Master, I know this really shouldn't happen to people who are seriously dedicated to you, but I would like for you to explain how best to deal with and avert personality crises which periodically occur. I would like a little elaboration on that because it
doesn't occur. You know that I always enjoin to keep diaries for self introspection for one and all, including group leaders and everyone. Yes? If we live up to that, there can be no conflict. First thing is, don't think evil of others. Non-violent by your harsh words. You see? That is the main cause of creating hatred. You can either just tell, oh, blind man, then you ask him, when did you lose your sight? There is a difference between the two. Isn't it? One is harming, the other is not. Similarly, if you find anything wrong in somebody, tell him privately, dear friend, this is done at a beautiful end. Don't broadcast it. Don't make parties. Don't go by the ears and the eyes of others. What we do? First we do something, who are attached to you, they form a party. And those are carried tales to others. Like what you say, diseases arise by infection, you see. That infection goes out and they are party. You keep your own diary, but don't think of evil, don't hear evil of others, don't see evil of others, don't speak evil of others. Then naturally, if there's anything wrong in others, find out friendly. I think this is the main cause. We simply know, wait, I said, we simply see, well, we are in authority, we will say, I'll turn you out. Well, who are you to turn to anybody else? This is the satsang of the master. All I tell you for the sake of the master, if anybody says, one or two, the initiate or anybody, well, that is not following the instructions of the master. Those in charge, place in charge, they are group leaders, they are given the children for their custody and help. And also, you love one another. If you love another, love knows, have a snake creep up. But love knows forgiveness and forgetfulness. I think you follow this very principle, there can be nothing. Our words should be kind. Kind words don't cost us anything, but kind words must be imbued with humility. Sometimes we, in our own jealousy, I can do, I can do these things. Well, these are the things we create out of us. You give, appreciate others' effort, whatever effort is made, more or less. If you give appreciation, the other man is encouraged to help you. He may have the flaws. Those flaws may be pointed out separately, privately, not broadcasted like, because that will make parties, you see. So that is the cause of all friction, which has risen in the past, may arise in the future. If you love Maharaj, you attend satsang for the sake of the Maharaj. The groups in charge should treat you like mothers, I would say. See? They are not masters, but they have been selected to help you. They also may have some flaws, you see. But their way is not to go away privately to request that this appears not wrong. I hope you will hear it. Even if you friendly, one or the other, if you tell them privately it is not, or then what is done cannot be undone, for anybody, that is your own, mistake. That has nothing to do with the teachings of the master. It is only because you don't follow it, all this friction. If you follow, love master and all those who go to him, love him. Love knows service and sacrifice. If anything happens, love beautifies everything. Love knows forgiveness and forgetfulness, isn't it? So even if you follow this very principle, there can be no like that. So as I told you, if you find anything, go to him privately and clarify. You see? Don't broadcast. That makes parties. That is. Don't hear to the ears of others, don't see to the eyes of others. If only that was done, you see. Group leaders are there to help, you see. They have great responsibility. All the same, they are helping you. They are sit together, make arrangements, sacrifice their time, their money sometimes, and also labor. They don't want anything returned. But they are, I tell you, they clearly give you understand that master is master, they are not master. Don't mistake that. This is a clarifier. If there is anything, when one man sees, God gives him eye to see the God in the Master is everything. Well, his eye, her eyes have been opened. His eye has been opened. He sees that way. Then so why don't you go like that? If I, as I explained to you, everything has its value, you see? Some are of higher value, some are of lower. Fact remains like that. So I appreciate, you see, all of you who are group leaders or others, to just think that way. You sacrifice your time, your something, for what? For higher purpose, to know what. Suppose there is a resentment between the two, he leaves the place and goes away. Then, well, this is not part of the science, really. Because we are all not perfect yet, you see, we are on the way. Some are more, some less, the others less. But you make an allowance for that, you see. Yes, please.
Master Dev, would you say...
But don't forget to attend your group meetings. Mind that. If you leave away that, then you led away. Because there the question is, this lesson is revived. Mind that. You go to church, I don't mind.
Yes.
If you go there, I tell you one thing more. If you find truth anywhere else, tell me, I will also follow you. That's all. Yes,
Master, something very unusual.
Yes, sir.
Happened to me last night at 1 o'clock when I was sleeping.
Yes.
I wake up and heard your voice calling my name.
Yes.
Very, very strong.
That's right.
Is that bad or good? I know it's bad because I couldn't sleep all night. I really ask you because your voice is so... I never heard anything in my life before except knocking on the doors or things like that. But your voice was so clear, calling that the whole room was like a sun.
Yes, I tell you now, as I've said many times, son of man is not the master. Son of man is the human power at which that God is the master only who works there. And it is that God power which goes round awakens all those who are initiated. And also, those who have got some background even appears to them, although they do not know who is who, you see. This is God power. When the man is initiated, that master power or God power resides with him. Call it Christ power or Guru power. And is ever on the guide to bring him up. If we turn our face to him, he will be guiding you, speaking to you by manifesting himself and otherwise. Once or twice, four times, we don't care, you lose your chance. But still he is there. Whenever you turn your face to him, he is there.
Master, your voice was very clear, and after that, since I couldn't sleep all night, I had very funny and different things in the room, but I just thought there was...
That the best thing was sit in meditation. That's all. It happens sometimes, those who have not seen the form of the Master out of us, they never heard about him for years before they having the manifestation of that form. And they are wondering what is that. Then when they met you, oh, I saw you 3 years back. Well, this is the God power that appears. We are all in the make. That's all. I tell you. In the scriptures, we sometimes find the word soul is dead. In Christian literature also, and others too. What do they mean? Guru Nanak says, only he is alive, O Nanak, who is conscious, become conscious of the divine plan, who knows, sees God. All others are dead. You follow me? Though your attention is identified with the all outside things that you consider to be a dead, but really not dead. You see? This is what is meant by all scriptures. Soul is never dead. But when it's your whole attention is absorbed in outer things, material things, it is defined as dead. If you withdraw it, it is already there, but awakens. Let's go.
Hello, and welcome to the Satsang from Master Kripal Singh. The recording you just heard was the first half of a talk and question and answer session given by Master in Miami, Florida, on January 7, 1964, given the name The Things Love Knows. Our reader this evening is Pradeep Sethi. Hello, Pradeep.
Hi, David, and good evening, everybody. During my last reading of the question-answer sessions from The Light of Kripal, I was just beginning to read the chapter titled Criticism, and the question a devotee had raised was, if some other person is criticizing, how should we act? And Master had started to answer this question, but before I go ahead, I must point out that in a couple of paragraphs, the names of individuals and the place where they live in has been blanked out for privacy reasons. So when I come to that portion, I would be using the word blank, and I hope you would bear with me. So blank has done very hard work in blank. Her way of working may be a bit different, but she has done very hard work, has she not? If you have love for the master, naturally you love everybody you see. There's a difference in opinion sometimes. So much can be reconciled by loving talk. Similarly, blank has done very hard work in blank, bringing so many people on the path, day and night sacrificing his everything for that. If there's any difference of opinion, as there sometimes is, it is from the level of one's own thinking, and be reconciled by a heart-to-heart talk. So he has done very hard work in the West. There may be a difference of opinion. Maybe one man thinks sometimes under misconception another way, and the whole thing appears to be wrong. Blank is doing very good work, too. Italy and Mauritius, other points. So in the West, it is mainly due to blank and blank also. In the beginning, many of those things were brought to your notice by them, is it not? We must be grateful for all we get, no matter what it is. If there is a difference of opinion between the two, all the same, you should be grateful for what you've gotten from any man, should you not? Little differences of opinion, little modes of thinking should not mar everything. At least they have conveyed you the message of the masters, you see. You've been brought around to the path. We have to see like that. So in many places in the United States, we have got satsangs. We have also got satsangs in New Zealand. And we have got in Australia, in Italy, and in South America. God finds some means to bring the paths of the masters to your notice. There is help going on. So we should all cooperate in the interest of the master's work. Little differences of opinion should be forgotten. Sometimes people write to me complaining, this is like that. I write back, if this is what you don't approve of, just talk to him. Heart to heart, in a friendly way, but in a straight way. All the same, we are one on the master's path. We should all progress on the master's path, and everybody should put their shoulders to the wheel. Thank God you are put on the way. The basic teachings of all great past masters, these criticisms, are only negative thoughts which affect our meditation. If we criticize anybody, we must first see to our own selves whether that very thing which we are pointing out is within us or not. If it is within you, then if not, have love for him and just point out lovingly. One mother took a child to Mahatma Gandhi. She said, "My son eats too much molasses. It is full of sugar." "All right, you come the day after tomorrow," Mahatma Gandhi replied. When she came up, he said, "Well, look here, child, don't eat molasses." His mother said, "If that was all you had to say, why did you not say that the other day?" He said, "Because I was still eating molasses on that day." If we look to our own selves, we will find we are still worse than the others in many respects. In our egotistical way, we say, "Oh, we know everything. We are superior, this and that." You remember one lady was guilty, declared guilty of fornication and brought to Christ? What did he say? They all complained to him. Christ said, "Here is the lady. What does your law say?" "Our law says a person should be stoned to death." "All right. Let us stand there." "All right. Any of you who has not committed that sin may stone her." Nobody dared. So these are our own weaknesses. Instead, we magnify others and don't look at our own selves. Then what did Christ say? "Do no more." So who is there who has not committed sin, knowingly or unknowingly, since he has taken up the physical body? So what is sin? Sin is the breaking of a law of nature. Too much eating is also sin. Everything taken to the extreme is sinful. Whatever drives you away from God is all sin, whether it appears good or bad. And whatever drags you to God is all virtue, a very common sense definition. We crow over others. We find anything wrong, we spread it like a plagued rat spreading an infection. So don't do the work of CID, apprentices of the CID of God. If you find anything wrong, anything, tell him friendly in a loving way, privately. Then he may listen to you. Don't say, "Oh, you are blind." Of course, he is blind, but there are ways and ways to express. "Well, dear friend, when did you cease to see?" He is saying the same thing, but he will feel the sympathy and may even tell you how it happened. Both use the same words. One way is negative, the other way is positive. We magnify. We sometimes make bad people still worse by crowing over them. If a thief is there, you might say, "Oh, you are a very fine gentleman. I never expected anything like that from you. You are very good. You are ensouled body, the Son of God." What a vast difference there is. The very words either make you antagonistic or make you polish down everything. So speech is a very blessed thing. If you know how to speak, think twice before you speak. First of all, is it necessary? Is what I'm saying right? Will it have a better effect or only a bad effect? How best to express? In this way, enemies will become friends. By criticizing others, invite that very sin which you are criticizing. As you think, so you become. When Christian missionaries first went to Japan, they preached one commandment of Moses, "Thou shalt not strike a woman." The Japanese people were living very innocent lives. Is it in your country that they strike women? After a year or so of preaching, they began to strike women. So we must learn how to speak. There are ways and ways of speaking. If you tell the same thing in a sweet, loving way, in private, not broadcasting or anything like that, then it will carry an effect. Otherwise, it will make matters worse. All right, dear friends, go and see with your own eyes and hear with your own ears. Many troubles in our daily life will subside. In my official career, I was in charge of coordination and administration. About 40 officers and staff of more than 3,000 worked under me. Once, some clerks were declared unfit and were returned to me. They were recommended for discharge. All such cases had to come to me. So I made those people clerks in the section under me. I watched what they were doing. They had bad habits, running here, talking, not doing work. I watched for a few days. Then one day I called them together. "Well, dear friends, you know you are paid to do your job while you are here, are you not?" "Yes." "As you have been recommended for discharge, who do you suppose will be affected? Your families, whom you have brought up? Is it not your duty to work hard for that purpose?" Then they would come around in a fortnight or a month or so. They began to work honestly. Then, again, when an established position was required by the other sections under me, I'd post them there. "We don't want this man. He's worthless." "No, no," I said. "He's a changed man now. Give him a chance and see." So, once it so happened, I was away on leave for a month or so. Some two or three clerks were recommended for dismissal, and immediate action was taken to dismiss them. When I returned from leave, those people came to me. "We have been dismissed." Then the officers who recommended them for dismissal said, "They are no good. They have made mistakes, this and that thing." Then I asked them, "All right, put the reasons in your application and I will see." I then made suggestions for their mistakes. Who is there who does not make mistakes? Some do more, others less. I recommended that they should first be warned to be careful. They should be given proper guidance. So, for this reason, I recommended to the comptroller, who is there in the office, including officers, who has not made mistakes? His dismissal means stabbing his family. What sin have they committed? If he has committed one mistake, two mistakes, anybody is liable to make mistakes. They should be guided properly, not dismissed. They were restored. A man came around. If you treat him like that, kind words don't cost anything. As for dissensions going on in the groups now and then, it is due to that. So all their recommendations, consultations did come to me. I told them, "Dear friend, your recommendation is no good. You must improve. Try to improve. It is not that you are punishing yourself. You are punishing your family, your children who are dependent upon you." They came around. So we should meet out in a friendly way and many troubles will disappear. It is not difficult. God will bless you if you become like that. We move on to the next chapter, titled Prayer, February 27, 1971. Do one thing at a time, fully. If you form that habit, then naturally there will be some discipline. We have not developed that habit. It is better to sing some hymn in your own tune, maybe of love, maybe of devotion, some sort of prayer before you sit for meditation. That will create an atmosphere. Then sit. Pray before sitting. Sing some hymn of love or devotion or prayer, anything in your own tune. That will help, I think. That will create a better atmosphere for meditation. To sit like a wrestler to catch him will not help. Question: Master, if Simran done correctly with full attention considered a prayer? Master: Prayer, you see, prayer is uttered by a weaker man to a stronger man for help. In prayer, you need something. You want help from someone. A poor man will pray to a rich man who can give him something. Prayer means that. Or, in prayer, we can have a review of our life. We have fallen. We are separated from you. Will you kindly help raise us? Do you follow? And the aim of prayer is love, devotion, and separation. To pray will help you. Prayer has its own categories. Either of two will help. Have you read Prayer, Book of Prayer? What I'm telling you now and all phases of prayer have been discussed in there. Question, Master, can you speak on the significance of thinking of the form of the Master? I never advise that. I never advise anybody to do that. And there is a reason. All masters, all gurus, all teachers say, think of the Master. Meditate on the form of the Master. To think of the Master is good. To pray before a Master is still better. But there is a vast difference between the two. To think of the Master as a form, visualizing the Master's form in this and that way, and do meditation on the form of the Master can have a different meaning. To pray to Master and sit is something else. But there is one danger in meditating on the form of the Master. If the Master is, God forbid, not perfect, not the Master or he belongs to the lower class, then you will only become what he is. Sometimes scriptures say, just think of your Master, meditate on the Master. Which Master? Whom you have seen? Not the one whom you have not seen? There is a difficulty that will arise. You can meditate or visualize on any form of whom, one who is of your own level or below your level, that form will come at once. The form of one who belongs to a higher category than you are cannot be visualized. Sometimes you see the turban, sometimes you can see the arm, sometimes the back. Your mind will be running everywhere to where you have seen him. That's the criterion. Of course, if you've got a very loving heart, just like I gave you the example the other day of when a glass is coated with wax, there on the back you will see your face. That's another thing. But generally, I never advise anybody to meditate on the form. They identify with it. You saw at the time of the last initiation, more than 200 saw the form of the Master. 250 to 300 were there. He is God who comes of himself. So pray and sit. That's all right. Then try to go in and you will find him. He is waiting for you. We may keep the photograph of our Master's form just like some relative or dear friend for remembrance, but that's all, not for meditation. Now consider Master is a real Master, but at the outset you cannot believe that he is a Master unless you have got some faith already developed within you. That's another thing. If you meditate on the form, you'll just go up. But if he is not a Master, I mean not a full developed Master, now may I add that word, what will you become? You will become what he is. So any form which comes of itself, that power is perfect. God is making that form fall of the Master in whom he is working. He knows everything. We do not know. He knows. So you see, when a Master initiates somebody, he resides within him at the same moment in astral form and never leaves him unless he takes him to the Satpurush, to the end of the world. When you enter the room and somebody is sitting there, will you not find him without thinking of him? He's already there. You'll find him. You may think or pray to him or not. matter of fact, in the extreme, just enter the room and you'll find him. So Master is Word personified, Word made flesh. He is residing within you. Just tap. Enter the room, you'll find him. Whether you pray to him or not pray to him, even if you think of me or not, if you enter, you will ultimately find him. So prayer is better, its significance becomes more. Do you know the significance of visualizing the Master's form? Your question was that. That is all right. To think of him, to look at his picture for sweet remembrance. You think of your brothers, your relatives, your friends, but you cannot visualize the Master who is above you all at once, except if you have very overwhelming love. That's a layer of wax behind the glass. Then you see with no effort. You may think of the Master if you've seen him, but sometimes you'll find Master's form appears to those who have not seen the Master. There are many cases like that even now. Once, when I went to Pakistan, I met a Mohammedan Sufi saint who used to do his penances in his own way. And when I went in, he found Master's form therein. He was wondering who this Sikh gentleman was whom he had never met. He had never even heard about me. But when he came up to me at Lahore, he said, "I was seeing you inside. I used to see my Master 7 years before I met him physically." God appears manifesting in whatever form he is working to those rare hearts who are really after him. Maybe Hindu, Mohammedan, Sikh, Christian or Jew. That makes no difference. Generally, people are asked, "Visualize my form. What's the result?" That's all right to help you concentrate for a while, but you will become what he is. As you think, so you'll become. If you know a Master is a Master, that's all right, even if you have not seen him. So prayer is a separate way. Enter the room and you'll find him. He is waiting for you. In the beginning, it is just like somebody is with you, hovering around you. You'll feel his presence like that. When that develops, his form will manifest. When that form can materialize like a physical body, it will guide you, give you writing. Ask such blank. "He used to write to me every week. Master came and sat down on the chair and dictated this and that to me. A book was published." You see, that form will materialize, come and talk, even dictate to you. But when a man thinks himself sufficient, he's cut off. Do you remember I told you the story of Bulle Shah the other day? He was initiated by Inayat Shah, who was a gardener. Bulle Shah was a Sayyid, the highest class of Mohammedan, belonging to the lineage of Prophet Muhammad. He was initiated by the gardener, Inayat Shah, but was ashamed to be called the disciple of one who was below his level, Mohammedan class. So Master sent other disciples, "Go and tell the people Bulle Shah is our brother in faith." Some went there singing and dancing. "Where is Bulle Shah? He is our brother. We are disciples of Inayat Shah." Bulle Shah was ashamed of them. "What will people say? I am a Sayyid, highest class. When they asked, we want to meet him, he's our brother." Out of shame, he said, "I'm not your brother." "All right, we'll not give you water to that field from today." It is with attention that Master rears up the disciples who are in tune, who are receptive more than others. Then naturally, what he had within him was cut off. Now he was helpless. What to do? Master is sometimes a very hard taskmaster, mind that. He was a very hard taskmaster. He would not listen to pleas. He says He's not mine. Let him go. He thought how to please him. His master used to hear the hymns or the songs sung by the dancing girls every week. He thought of what to do to please him. He became a servant of that dancing girl, served her in every way, and learned singing and dancing. After some time, he became adept in that. And one day, when that dancer was supposed to go to sing before the master, he said to her, "If you give me your clothes, I'll wear them. I'll sing today." She agreed. So he put her clothes on himself and went over there. Anything that comes out of the pinning heart will attract him. He was dancing and singing in ecstasy, and master knew he had come. He stood up and embraced him. The other said, "What happened to our master? What is he doing? We found him hovering over a dancing girl." People see from their own angle of vision. Naturally, smoky glasses will smoke. Then Inayat Shah said, "Well, look here, take off your clothes." "Oh, Bulle, oh, Bulle." It was Bulle. "I'm not Bulle. I have forgotten you. Forgive me." So he came after that. He had the truth. So the master gives water. That is the point. If the disciple simply becomes a mouthpiece of the guru, he gets his place. But if he thinks he himself has become a guru, then he'll know. It's a very delicate point. Little ego, little self-sufficiency spoils the whole thing. When the hymns from the heart, coming from the heart, pinching of the heart, such like hymns of separation, due to a little concentration, you are cut off from the world over. You are all alone, even in the midst of thousands. If you have love for somebody who is sitting in the throng, even with so many hundreds of people there, your attention is riveted on him. You don't know who else is sitting. There is a ruling passion in your heart for him. That is due to extreme concentration, real renunciation. What is real renunciation? When you renounce all other things except for one, that is renunciation. Not leaving your hearth and home. Have sweet remembrance. How can you forget your friend? Can you? He is ever with you, ever watching you, like a mother of a child who has not even learned to walk or talk and is lisping. So it is first he who loves us, not we him. You see, our love is only reciprocal. He is love personified. That is, he is overflowing with the love of intoxication of God. So when you have developed in that way, he appears, the radiant form within you, and ultimately seems to be the very Satpurush. Indramati, a very highly developed follower of Kabir, had reached the highest plane, fifth plane, and there she found Kabir sitting as Satpurush. She told him, "It was you who was the real Satpurush. Why didn't you tell me on the earth that you are the Satpurush?" And he said, "You would not have believed on earth that I am the Satpurush." So masters work from different levels and never say, "I am God." If the disciple develops ultimately later on, then he finds him like anything. So sweet remembrance is what is required. Just like a man with whom you leave all your heart to give that sweet remembrance, heart beating within for him. And that brings me to the end of my time, and I will end here and continue with Master's Grace next time. I was reading from The Light of Kripal. I started with a chapter on criticism and went on to prayer. Thank you very much for listening to me, and thank you, Master.
And thank you for reading for us, Pradeep. There were 55 people at this evening's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
The world is not our home, nor this body which we are living in. Our true home is the house of our Father.